Well, good afternoon. It's good to see you too. All right. I'm glad you're here, and I'm looking forward to tonight. There we go. Got my iPad set up. Obviously, Travis is not here. Rumors have it that he's on an airplane or on his way to an airplane, or I don't know. But I've traveled with family before on an airplane, especially the little kids. So he deserves our prayers. An airport and an airplane is a big thing, and there's a lot of mystery for little people on it. So just pray for them, for comfort, for a safe journey, and that they arrive quickly and can enjoy the ministry that they have set out before them. So let's keep that in our prayers as we kind of process the next couple weeks without him. So a couple things. First of all, I want to tell you, for those of you that were here Wednesday night a couple weeks ago, one of my students was here and he got baptized, and I got a card from his mom, and she just expressed her gratitude and love and gratefulness for the way that we just embrace them and love on them. And if you missed that Wednesday night, it was awesome. It really was. It was a beautiful thing to see this young man come in and take on his faith. And for their family to be here and our family to be here and to not know that we weren't one just big, loving, Christ-centered family. So that was a beautiful thing, and I want to thank you guys for that. That was awesome. A small note that I would ask you to keep in your prayers. My nephew, his name is Zach. Zach, say it with me. Zach will be jumping out of airplanes this next week. He's in the military, and he's got 5 jumps, I think. 2 are daytime jumps and 2 are nighttime jumps. And his mom, my sister, Amy, just trying to keep you in the loop there, is ringing my phone off the hook. Please pray for Zach. Please pray for Zach. Please pray for Zach. It's taken all I can not to send her little comic strips with parachutes going horribly wrong. I am waiting for after this week, and he's healthy and everything's gone good, and then I'm just going to fill up her phone box with all of those comic strips of parachutes going wrong. But anyway, that's a nervous thing for her, and she's asked for prayer, so I would ask you to do that if you wouldn't mind. So before we start, I want to tell you a little bit about where my lesson is coming from tonight. As a minister, I'm sorry, David, sorry, okay? As a minister, there are a lot of times where I love on the people God's given me. That's you guys. And I love you guys. Okay? I love the relationships. I love the family. I love being here and seeing you out, whether we're eating a meal or whatever. I see you guys everywhere. And I love that. And that is a beautiful part of being part of the kingdom. Along with that love towards you, I feel this angst to love the sinners of the world as well, okay? Obviously, there are times when one of those is much easier than the other. It's easy to come here on a Sunday night and love you guys and be loved on and speak to my family and hear how things are going and pray for you. And then it's quite something else at times to engage my surroundings, my culture, okay, the community at large, and want to love them as well. And so there's that tension between loving the church well and loving the lost. And sometimes it's harder to process and find the path forward. So this is the challenge, okay? Tonight I want to explore with you, and Herb, you were doing a great job. You set me up. You notice how Herb gets up here and he gives us a song and he tells us a little bit about it? You know that? Yeah? Okay. Shake your heads. Got to get you moving again, okay? That's what he does, and it kind of invites us into that song for a minute, and we get to see that song a little differently, okay? So tonight what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a song. Now, this is a secular song, okay? In other words, you're not going to find it at the Christian bookstore. It's not going to be there. You'll find it on Billboard's Top 100 or whatever. But this is the artist. That's Pink. That's literally her name, Pink with an exclamation mark, okay? If you're a great singer and you fill stadiums, you can have any name you want, all right? Hers is pink with an exclamation. If you just type in pink, you get the color. If you type in pink with an exclamation, you get the artist. Okay? And I'm going to introduce you to one of her songs. I ran across this song a few weeks ago. I'm always late catching on to what's the current song, okay? So you're like, oh, Bert, he's in touch with culture. No, I'm about 3 years late on this one, okay? But I'm going to introduce you to a song, and then we're going to navigate that song a little bit, okay? And so I'm going to play just a few seconds of the song so you can hear it and kind of get the vibe for where this song is, okay? Because I know the picture you have up there, you probably have, how many of you already have a perception of who this person is? Yes, we all do. We're like, yeah, I know, yeah, okay? So, and most of her songs are heavy rock to pop, okay? So that kind of gives you a flavor. This is not a rap artist. This is not a country western artist, okay? So what I'm going to play for you, how many of you are products of the 80s? Don't be shy. You remember those rock ballads from the 80s? The rock groups, and then they would play the ballad. So this is the softer side of pink, okay? And I'm going to give you a few seconds of it, and I'm going to not try to blow the mic away when we do this. You guys like that? You're going to go home and look it up, aren't you? You're like, that's my song. That's my jam. All right? So I want to walk you through this song because Pink is asking a question. Okay? And one of the things I want us to think about a little bit, think about your culture. Think about the music you grew up in. Think about the generation just before you and how they viewed your culture. And how they viewed your music, okay? Remember when Elvis was the thing? Yeah? And he would get up there and he would shake his hips. There was some talk about that. Who is this guy? Right? And then the Beatles came. And so every generation has their music, and the generation before kind of, all right? But what I want to challenge you with is sometimes the culture that we want to say they're misbehaving, they're off task, they're asking a question with their behavior. Have you ever parented a child that's a little bit out of control? And you have to back up and say, okay, he's right now, whatever he or she is doing is driving me crazy. What is it they want? You ever had a cranky baby and all they wanted was food? If they had the language, they would say, feed me. Or they've got a dirty diaper and you just haven't clued in on it yet. And what they're saying is, change me. Okay, so the generation is the same. So let's walk through this just a little bit. She starts off, we are searchlights. We can see in the dark. We are rockets pointed at the stars. We are billions of beautiful hearts. And then there's this, and you sold us down the river too far. Just look at those first three. She's referring to the grandeur that we call humanity, right? This is who we are. We're humanity. We are a city on a hill. We are a light not to be hidden. Sounds familiar? We're rockets pointed at the stars. Anything is within our capabilities. This is how amazingly and wonderfully we are made. And so she cries out with this question as soon as she gets this out, but what about us? What about all the times you said you had the answers? What about us? What about all the broken, happy ever afters? What about us? What about all the plans that ended in disaster? What about love? What about trust? What about us? We are problems that want to be solved. We are children that need to be loved. We are willing. We came when you called, but man, you fooled us. Enough is enough. What about us? What about the times you said you had the answers? What about all the broken happy ever afters? Oh, what about us? What about all the plans that ended in disaster? Oh, what about love? What about trust? What about us? Oh, what about us? What about the plans that ended in disaster? Sticks and stones may break these bones, but then I'll be ready. Are you ready? It's the start of us waking up. Come on, are you ready? I'll be ready. I don't want control. I want to let go. Are you ready? I'll be ready. Because now's the time to let them know we are ready. And that's a little hectic there. I'll come back and we'll process that a little bit. Then it's the what about us again. What about love? What about trust? What about us? What about us? What about us? And so she starts off, and I want to parallel this a little bit through the text, and I think you'll find out just a little bit about what she's saying there. I heard this song, and I heard a cry. I heard the cry of humanity. What about us? Here we are. What about us? What about all the broken, happy ever afters? What about all the dreams that failed? What about all the plans that ended in disaster? That's coming from Pink, her culture, her context, making an indictment about life. Now, she's saying, what about us? And I'm listening to it, and I'm saying, well, who's she asking what about us to? So I went and I did a little research, and I found out that when she wrote this song, she was writing it to the government, to society, to the government. You know, the government that promises to have all the answers. Ah, now you're cluing in on what she's saying, right? You guys promised to have the answers. What about us? This is not the first time someone has cried out and didn't know who they were really crying to. Pink can ask the government these questions. The government will never have an answer. But our culture looks to our government, our policies, our laws, our land, and I don't mean to get political, but our culture. You know, if there's a problem with the schools, they go to the school and ask questions. Why are the principals? Why are the teachers? Why is the school district? Okay? And we've talked about this before. We've talked about the eminent domain. They are addressing everything they know within their own context. They never quite realize somebody else is listening. So you go to something like Exodus chapter 3, verse 7. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people. I have heard them crying out. Here's the nation of Israel. Slavery is all over the place. They've been destroyed, and they are crying out. And you know what? Moses goes back in this dialogue. He says, but who are we even crying out to? I don't even know your name. God hears. And here's this what about us in Exodus. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. I'm concerned about their suffering. Moses comes in chapter 3, 13. Moses said, suppose I go to the Israelites. Who do I say that you are that sent me? He says, I am. Here's your answer. It's me. So I want to go back and I want to ask Pink, and I really wish I could talk with her. I wish we had an interview up here. I said, who are you talking to? Because the government doesn't have the answers, but I know somebody else who's listening in on this conversation you're having as you cry out. And I want to introduce you to him. His name is the I Am. I'd love to have that conversation with her. And we continue on. Even she starts off her song, you know, with we're rockets pointed at the stars, we're all of this. And we go back and you read Psalms 139, and the first thing, I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. 1 Peter chapter 2, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Genesis chapter 1, 26 and 27, we are created in the image of God. Pink's got it right. Humanity is amazing creation, right? You go back and God created and it was very good, right? So she understands the value of humanity, but then she also understands this brokenness. What is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him? And so she begins this lament as she goes into this Psalms 57, have mercy on me, O God. Have mercy on me, for in you my soul takes refuge. I will take refuge in your shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. Have you ever felt like the disaster is still coming? And so here she is naming the disaster, the broken, happy ever ending, all of that stuff. And she's paralleling what we find in Scripture, kind of the plight of humanity. She's identified it. You know, here we are, humanity. But I have this question because I'm in the Psalms and I'm lamenting. And the psalmist is saying what? What about me? What about us? And we can follow that. Psalms 57, I am in the midst of lions. I lie among ravenous beasts, men whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be all over the earth. I was bowed in distress. They dug a pit, but they have fallen into it themselves. And so this is this crying out. All right, so here's what I want to ask. Who is she asking this to? Who's the only one that can answer this cry from culture? Okay? What's the big answer first? We would say God, right? God's the one that's going to answer this, right? And I would agree, okay? But then there was the fall. Remember that? Where humanity came crashing down? And suddenly, the question is, what about all the happy ever afters, God? God had a plan. You go back, you look at Genesis 12, and the Lord said to Abraham, that's the plan. And we follow Abraham, and he says, I'll make you a great nation, and because of your great name, you will be a blessing. And in chapter 12, I will bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the people on the earth will be blessed through you. Pink, I've got your answer. We go all the way back to Genesis. We find it beginning to weave its way through the text. Genesis 18, the same thing. Abraham will surely become a great nation, a powerful nation, and all nations on earth will be blessed. And then we get to Genesis 22, verse 15, 16, 17. This is key. Listen carefully. I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies and through your, and here it is, singular, offspring. You remember that? Through your offspring, because you've obeyed me. It's not until we get to Galatians where Paul goes back and looks at that. Remember that? And he's talking to the church in Galatians. He says, the promises were spoken to Abraham and his seed. And his seed is Christ. So God has the answers, and now those have been handed off to Abraham. Through Abraham, he's going to bring the seed. The seed of Christ is going to answer the question, what about us? Okay? And I get that. But we jump back into the Old Testament because we weren't done with the Old Testament. Isaiah 52, verse 6 says, therefore, my people will know my name. Therefore, in that day, they will know what it is. They will know that it is I who foretold it. Yes, it is I. How beautiful the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Whose feet is he referring to? Plural now. Who's bringing the good news now? The Father, the Christ, the church. Okay? We could go on. Isaiah 52, the Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. This is the what about us that he's referring to. And that the nations will be lifted up. The nations will sing for joy in Psalm 57. Let your glory be over all the earth, Psalm 57:11. And then we get to John chapter 20, verse 21. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." You is plural. You is forward-looking. You is us. So this mission for the what about us, okay, Matthew chapter 5, you are the light, okay, of the world, a city on a hill, cannot be hidden. This is us. All right, so let's think about this just for a minute. Pink, our culture is asking a question. Now, I think she's asking the wrong person altogether. I wish I could say, turn around, ask me the question, okay? But even in her song, she kind of indicts us, and she said, "You promised you had all the answers." Okay? So there's a question there. We've got this culture out here that's saying, "What about us? What about all the happy ever afters?" And they're really asking the church. You know, how many times have we gone to the text and said, "If you just read the text, you'll find all the answers." And the problem is the world is not rushing to the text, flipping the pages. We have become the text to them. You want to see the text? Look at a Christian. You want to see a bad version of the text? Look at a Christian. And so her cry, which is, and by the way, she fills stadiums, you know, 100,000 people, and they're all singing this song as loud as they can. They don't know who they're singing it to. But they're saying, "What about us? What about the happy ever afters?" Because you know what? My parents got divorced. I lost my job. Cancer is still here. There's this death. There's this plight. There's this hurricane. There's this earthquake. Goodness gracious, don't even get me started on the news over the last weekend. What about us? And it comes down to the church. This is a question directed at us. So I started this with the conflict, you know, loving us, the church people, and loving the culture. And sometimes I have a hard time loving the culture because I see the behavior, and what they're asking is they're saying, "Hey, what about us?" And I get offended by the behavior, and it's easy to not want to love because of the question that they're asking is wrapped up in their behavior and in their identity. And we have to go back and look at that and say, okay, what are they asking? Okay, now I understand what you're asking. Who are you looking to get that answer from? Well, you think it's from the government. You think it's from institution. You think it's from this. No, no, no. The church is here to answer those questions. Now, we do that through the teachings of Christ, right? Yes? Give me a heads up. Okay? We do that through the teachings of Christ. We model those teachings as we engage this culture. And so that's where this becomes. So I want to ask you, I want to invite you into this. I want you to pay attention to culture. And the first thing we do if we see culture is I want to run the other way usually, right? Oh, no, it's culture, run. They're doing crazy things again. Okay, that's the world. That's what they do. Crazy is their motto. Okay? Sometimes what we see as misbehavior or rock music or rap music, okay, or a poor lifestyle is a cry for help that only the church has the commission and the authority to answer. The government was never commissioned to go out and make believers, right? That's not their commission. Let's go out and tax some people and pave some roads and try to keep some form of harmony. Okay? That's their directive. We are the church, not the government. So that's our commission. okay? And God says, you have authority. Okay, it goes all the way back to creation, right? You're going to have co-dominion over my creation. So we have the authority, the obligation to go out and to look at culture and pay attention. The hard part is developing a set of ears that allows you to figure out what they're asking. I don't know. I mean, look what they're doing. That's just crazy. I don't get it. What are they asking to do? So I want you to do that. I want you to practice this because you'll probably do it better not looking at today's culture and trying to figure it out, but go back and look at your own culture when they were the ones crying out and misbehaving and ask yourself, what was I looking for? What was I asking for? I'm going to briefly mention this. I wasn't going to, but I think I will. So one of the things that's really out there right now in our culture, and it brings a lot of divisiveness, okay? See some hatred both ways, but the LGBTQ whatever community tags on there, you know that community, right? How many of you are like, I don't even get it? Okay? So the question is, can I hear what they're questioning? What is their questioning? And I think, and this is just me, and I hope that there's some dialogue, I think they're asking, who am I? It's all about identity, right? I identify as this, I identify as that, I identify, and they're just saying, who am I, who am I, who am I? And I will try on anything until I get something that I think fits and I think sticks. Does that make sense? I think that's their question. If that's their question, and as a Christ follower, I take it seriously to let them know who they are, and they're in a mess about that, then I need to turn back and look at me. Have I done a good job of letting them know who they are? Does that make sense? Have I been loud enough and strong enough to say, you are the beloved creation of God? You are not an abomination that people want to cast on you. You are not beyond salvation. You are not given over. You are the beloved. God died for you just like anybody. Maybe if we were better at telling them who they really were, we could help them avoid some of the miscues that they're striving to find their identity in. That's one of the things that we're finding out about this generation. They are so undefined through culture. And you ask them, you know, well, who are you? Well, they'll give you a list of things. They don't know who they are. And they're looking for that answer. That's the culture's cry right now. Think about all the things that you see and you just want to say, that child does not even know who they are. You want to just grab them, hold them still long enough, and breathe some truth into them, speak some truth into their life, long enough for them to accept their belovedness, their created beauty. He knit them together before they even asked the question, who am I? He knew you. And so that's just one area, but I would ask you as you go forward and process this, talk about this. I mean, don't be afraid to talk about this kind of stuff, but ask questions of one another. You know, you see something in the culture, you see it on social media, you see it on the news. Just ask yourself, what do you think they're asking? They're acting this way for a reason. What's the question behind it? And maybe if we can develop the ears, then we can say, okay, what about you? I get that. Let us show you what makes us who we are. And maybe we can begin answering some of the questions that culture's arriving at, unguided and unprepared for. And so tonight, that's what I want to encourage us to do. I'm going to wrap up with a quick prayer, and then I'll invite you if you want to. I mean, maybe you're asking questions your own, you know? You're like, hey, Bert, I want to know what about me because my life has been a train wreck. And this is the question I ask God all the time, especially in the closet on my knees. What about me, God? I mean, I know that's my prayer sometimes. I know that's my plight, my question. I know I hear that question a lot of time from some of you guys. Maybe that's where it's at. Or maybe you need to come and say, you know what, I'm ready to start answering questions because I have not been living like the Christ model I'm supposed to be, so that they have an answer for their question. They're running around the world asking these questions, and we are not giving them any models to put forward and say, you want to know? This is what it means to live in Christ. This questioning that Pink's asking, what about the happy ever after? What about all of that? You know, hey, how come there's no answers for me? Well, let me show you something by the way I live. Okay? Let me model it. And then maybe I can talk to you about it as well. So this was my passionate question that's been bothering me for a couple weeks. I can't stand it that this super rock star is putting this question out there, and she doesn't even know who to ask it to. She's asking the government. And I'm like, and the church needs to be the front ones to say, let me answer this question, Pink, because you've got it wrong. You're asking the wrong people. There is an answer to this question, but this becomes a melody for thousands of people. And it bothered me. It made me consider myself. Am I living a life worthy enough to answer questions like that for the students that I engage? To answer that question for the families that show up and are struggling, you know? And so it was an indictment on me, and an indictment, I think, sometimes on our church as a whole, that we're not doing what we ought to be doing for the culture that is so lost. And like I said, it comes from I love you guys, and I love the lost. And sometimes I look at the lost and I don't even know where to begin because I don't understand the questions that they're asking. I just see train wrecks happening all over. So maybe this will help you to get those ears where you hear from the culture the question, and then we know how to respond. You ever had that dialogue with somebody and it feels like it's no, you know, and you finally just say, what is it you're asking? You ever do that with a little kid? Or maybe your wife? I don't know. But you got to pause it long enough to understand, and then you can address it. So we're going to stand and sing in a minute, but I want to lead us in a prayer before Herb comes up and does that. Father, you know, I misread culture all the time. I misread people's motives. I misread their hearts. It's easy to stand back and judge when I don't understand the context. And Father, this what about me question that comes from somebody that I'm so entirely removed from, but to know that there are people out there that this is their cry. And so when they go to bed at night, they don't see a future. When they get up in the day, they don't see a day worth having. All they see is the destruction and the fallenness of our world, and they don't even know who to ask for help. And so, Father, like the nation of Israel, as they cry out and our cries instinctively go to our Creator, I know you hear their cries. And I know you sent your Son to provide a path forward, and I know you commissioned me and the church to be the ones to intermediate a little bit, to help them find hope, to help them find answers to the heart's ache and cry of humanity in the fallen state of where we are. Help us to do that, Father. Help me to do that. Lord, give us ears so that we can accurately hear what it is the culture is crying out for and how best to help go about that. In Christ's name, amen. If you need to come forward, you can come on up as we stand and sing.